Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Sunshine came softly through my...
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. We got Joe Knight back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Joe's a member of our Brain Trust. He is one of the founders of a Los Angeles-based Business Legacy Institute, which works with companies like yours and mine to help them do a better job of dealing with their financial literacy, especially, and a lot of training in that area. He's the co-author of Financial Intelligence for Entrepreneurs, What You Really Need to Know About the Numbers. And as I say, he's a member of our Brain Trust. He's also the owner of a manufacturing company. Joe Knight, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Joe, before you got here, I was talking about some of the what I consider to be the main reason, not product, not marketing plans, not management, but the main reason why small businesses fail, and I said it was because not understanding the capitalization requirements of a small business and the impact of growth on that capital structure. What do you think?
Sure. Absolutely. That's what happens to all small businesses, particularly if they sell their product on credit. They don't realize that growing faster consumes cash and capital. And if they're not ready for that and they don't understand that, small businesses that are very profitable will fail.
Well, one of the points I'd remind them about is if you had a 2% bottom line net profit, how happy would you be? They all say, I'd be very happy with that at the end of the year. And I say, yeah, but wait a minute. You're planning on growing your business next year at 8%. Where's that other 6% going to come from?
Right. And the only way that comes from, the only way you're going to get that is through financing. And right. Jim, right now, financing has never been more difficult for small business.
You've been seeing this, haven't you, in your own business?
I really have. You know, we do a lot of big projects. We do manufacturing automation. We also design and build roller coasters. We just did some major components for the Harry Potter ride at Universal Studios about to open. And when we get into projects, we need project-based financing. Now, 3 years ago, I could get a pretty good-sized credit line to do a lot of these big projects. Recently, in fact, the last few months, I had a big project, and I went to get financing, and those same bankers I've worked with for decades will not do the deal. They
wow.
see the FDIC is breathing down their neck. There's too much pressure.
It's going to get worse with the new financial regulation bill that's about to pass, too.
I think it is. And so I couldn't get those same deals, and I thought to myself,
These are people that know you. They know your business. It's a solid business. They know your financial situation. You've got a solid financial situation.
Absolutely.
And they just don't want to loan the money.
Very profitable.
If not to
equity ratio.
If not to you, Joe, who?
Yeah. And that's the question I have. And as I sat there looking at those bankers across the table, I thought, you know, is this really worth it to take all this risk and to go through all this hassle?
Yeah.
And, you know, I could shut down this manufacturing business. I do fine training and speaking in my business literacy business. But Joe,
the training and the speaking that you do are to other companies like your manufacturing company. If they have the same Atlas Shrugged moment, as you call it, as you were telling me off the air, if they have that same moment, you're not going to have any of those customers.
Well, Jim, you know, frankly, I train for the big companies. My clients in training is GE and MetLife and Electronic Arts and the big, large companies. I'm really not a small business trainer. I'm a small business owner that trains corporate America and large companies. And I'll tell you something, Jim, very interesting. Recently, I trained at the management development course, the MDC course that Jack Welch started.
Yeah.
I trained the finance module for that course.
Right.
And I was talking to the GE people, and they talked about how they are forbidden to take large projects unless they're cash flow positive, because GE has had some cash crises.
That's
in the last year.
Exactly what I'm talking about. And when are you seeing a pervasive attitude in government right now, this anti-business and anti-wealth growth?
It sure feels that way when you can't get bank financing, and when they say it's because the FDIC is coming after them, and they said if we book your small project loan or large project loan, it's too risky, and we don't want to take the risk. And,
right.
And in our community, I'm in the Salt Lake City, Utah area, there's been two pretty significant community banks go down, and so everybody's scared. They've shut them down. So in my world, it's not a friendly environment for small business, and it's kind of scary because those owners aren't going to want to create those jobs, mm-hmm. take on the risk.
So what's the answer? What's the answer, Joe? If President Knight, how would you solve this?
Well, first of all, I'd make sure that the tax system was friendly to the small businessman, and that we would finally understand what K-1 income is, and that's income that comes through your business to you,
right.
even though it shows up as personal income.
Right.
That should be treated tax-wise differently because if it's plowed back into your business.
That's right.
And
see,
and,
this is the problem I have with this $250,000 thing.
Right.
I wrote an article about called taxing those wealthy small business owners, and I laid out a scenario that's not uncommon in America of a woman who owned a business, and between her income as the owner of the company and her husband's income as an employee of another company and the K-1 income, as you say, that comes to her through her company, they had a combined income of $250,000. Now, you and I both know that K-1 income that came to her from a tax standpoint was phantom income because it wasn't cash.
Right, and furthermore, in many cases, all that income is strategically, even if it was cash, being plowed back into her business to grow it. And so you're taxing away jobs.
Well, and it was the cash that created the current ratios that her bank required for the loan.
Right, and so it's a catch-22, and I am absolutely certain that the U.S. Government does not understand small business.
There's no, thank you for saying that, and that's what I've been saying for a long time, folks. We got too many people in Washington. It really irritates me, Joe, when they keep talking, they keep invoking small business as if they have a right to do that. You know, small business this, small business that, but they don't understand us and they're not helping us. And I don't even think that they're trying. Quick break. Stay with us. Right back with Joe Knight after these messages.
The place I love.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Having a great visit with our good friend Joe Knight. Joe is the co-author of Financial Intelligence for Entrepreneurs. He's also a business owner himself and owns a manufacturing company and a training company. Joe, tell us how we can find you online, how we can find your book.
Jim, we've got a new website we're spinning up right now, and it's available to your listeners. It's called financedog.com.
Say it slower.
Finance Dog.
FinanceDog.com. Okay. What do we find?
And we've got some little video modules on there, and one free module that you can get when you go online is the difference between profit and cash.
I like that.
Any of your listeners who want to go through the numbers on what can happen when you're profitable but you're out of cash, we've got a great little example that we go through step by step. It's free to your listeners.
Thank
or anyone
you.
Who wants to come online.
Thank you. Say that again. FinancialDog.com?
FinanceDog.com.
Folks, go do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. This is a Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday, Happy Anniversary. I'll roll into one from Joe Knight. Go watch that video, even if you think you're the best in the world at managing cash. Go watch that video. I haven't seen it, but I know Joe. I know what he's talking about. I promise you, you will get some aha moments. In that, Joe, if everybody could watch that video, if I could do one thing, I'd ask them to read an article I wrote about the 3 clocks of small business, and I'd ask them to watch your video because it doesn't take long to do either one of those either.
No, this is about a little 15-minute segment.
Yeah, folks, there's an article segment on my website. You can go search for it, the 3 clocks of small business and it talks about the cash clock, the sales clock, and the expense clock. And how they don't work together, and then go watch Joe's video or in reverse order. So check that out, folks.
Yeah,
financedog.com. Joe, and your book's available wherever books are sold, I know.
Yeah.
Okay. You talked to us in the previous segment about how tough you're having, about some issues you're having with a banker, even though you've got a solid company. And what do you recommend to the people out there? And your story is legend. All right, now, Joe, I'm hearing this from people all over the place.
Yeah, I'm sure it's true.
And so my question, and see, I think if you needed $50,000 or $100,000, you wouldn't have a problem. A lot of small business owners are in that category. But you need more than that because of the size of your business, the scale of your business, and those larger loans, six-figure maybe, I mean, high six-figure, maybe even seven-figure loans, those kinds of loans are the ones that are the hardest to put together right now, aren't they?
They are. There's a lot of things that are working against you as a small business owner, one of which is bankers don't understand small business. Many of them are not financially literate.
Right.
Jim.
They aren't.
And I think you assume that, or we assume too much about financial literacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this last year, another thing that's on finance.com is about a 24-question quiz we developed. Last year, we did a national study of managers in America, over 150 employees, gave this multiple-choice test, and the average score in America, Jim, was 38%.
Wow.
And when we told Harvard about it, they published it in Harvard Business Review in October of last year. But we have that test online, and your listeners can take it, and we'll tell them where they're deficient.
And folks, the results of that test will tell you whether you've got a chance to survive if you don't, and if you score low on the test, you have to say to yourself, if I don't fix this, I won't survive. Jim Blassingame,
right.
Joe Knight says, I won't survive, and you need to believe that.
That's right, and so we believe that, and I'll tell you, Jim, I guarantee, based on my experience, bankers wouldn't score much higher than 38%.
I believe you.
And so first, you need to find people who understand small business and business finance in general and how to read a statement. Second, you need to find people who understand your needs and your requirements, because a lot of times banks will give you half of what you need. If they don't want to give you the full amount, and there's nothing worse than being halfway funded, because then you get into a loan and you need it.
It's the worst thing you can do, folks, is not start the business because you don't have any capital. It's start the business and being undercapitalized.
That's right.
That's the worst.
Then you lose your home.
That's right. Then you lose everything. I found though that on a for small businesses, independent community banks have still been pretty solid for them across the country.
I believe that's true, and I believe that's a better opportunity, because independent community banks will take character and who you are and your reputation and your time in business as an important point, whereas the large national banks throw you into their little
credit score. The credit score.
Yeah, they do their little credit score, and if your numbers aren't perfect.
Yep.
They're not going to do business.
Thank you for saying character, Joe, because that's something I've been harping on for a long time. Small business owners deserve to be given credit for the character, and there's no component in credit scoring for character. Hey, Joe, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Absolutely.
Joe Knight, ladies and gentlemen, real world information from a guy on the main street just like you and me. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you next time.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.